त्रैलोक्यरावणमवाप्नुहि वीरपत्नीं वाहति हि सेतुमिहते यशसो वितत्यये गाहयन्त दिग्विजयिनो यमुपे च भूपा. My lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Ishava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine, because he is a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramchandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote. He constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Janama karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janama naiti mam eti sorajuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, the activities of the Lord are not uncommon. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Translation. My lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is a great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Ishava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, Although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Lord Ramchandra we are reading has approached the ocean. In order to attain Sri Lanka, there was over 100 yojanas or 800 miles of ocean. Ramchandraji and his army of monkey soldiers are standing at the very holy place of Sri Rameshwaram. And Lord Ram, it is explained here by Shukadeva Goswami, he decided to fast for 3 days to perform this tapasya in order to get the approval or order to receive the sanction of the ocean to build this great bridge across. The Lord is very merciful. Was there a need for the Lord to get the sanction of the ocean, the predominating deity of the ocean, when the ocean belongs to him? Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, everything is his property. Therefore, he can do whatever he likes with anything. And ultimately he does. But in the process, for our benefit, for our purification, he gives us an opportunity to use everything in his loving service. He gives us an opportunity to offer whatever we have for his pleasure. But if we are not willing to do that, if we ignore his request to surrender everything to him, if we neglect his appeal in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yadashnashi yadjujhoshi datasi yat yat tapasya sukhonte yatat karusho madarapanam, to utilize everything as an offering to me, then ultimately he takes everything away by force in due course of time anyway. And in the process, in order to teach us, he creates the punishment of the threefold miseries of material existence. So what is taking place here with the ocean is very symbolic to the life of every conditioned soul. Lord Ram is coming to the ocean requesting, I want to build bridge, I want to utilize your ocean for my purposes, come and give me permission. If you do, you will be glorified, you will be my eternal servant. If you don't, I will destroy you. That is the choice he's giving every one of us, is it not? He comes through Bhagavad Gita, not only through all Bhagavad Gita, but through every scripture of the world. And he says, you are free, you are independent, everything is mine, I have given it to you too on a loan, use it for my service, you will be glorified forever, you will attain eternal pleasure, if you don't, you will be destroyed. Huh? We are all in the same exact position as ocean personified, however big or small we may be. Now, like most of us, the ocean personified neglected the appeal of the Lord. Obviously, the ocean personified had better things to do. So many of us, we hear the word of our spiritual master, who is, God is speaking through him. The sadhu is nothing more than the mouthpiece of God himself, Bhagwan. Krishna says, sarva dharman purityaja, surrender everything to me. And the bona fide acharya, he is simply repeating the same thing. Who is a bona fide acharya? That person who tells you, surrender everything to Krishna. So Krishna is speaking through guru, he is speaking through sadhu, he is speaking through shastra, surrender everything to me. But we have so many excuses, as the ocean did. Maybe we don't have time. Maybe, after all, the personification of the ocean has a lot of responsibilities. You may think that, how do I have time to surrender everything to Krishna? I have a family. I have three children. Well, all the fish in the ocean are the children of the ocean. Do you know how many children he has that he has to provide for? Billions. Well, I own a house. I have to pay the rent. The ocean takes care of the entire ocean. He has a lot of responsibilities. You cannot even imagine. Can you imagine being in charge of the entire ocean and all living entities within the ocean? Huh? You think your business is big? So obviously he was making so many excuses. But Ram has done to him what he is doing to all of us. He glanced upon the ocean with anger. And upon glancing upon the entire ocean from the inside to the outside became so agitated and disturbed that all the aquatics started coming to the surface. They did not know what to do. They felt they were going to be devastated. The ocean realized that Krishna is all-powerful. Lord Sri Ramchandra is all-powerful. And therefore, he came out with folded palms and surrendered everything. My dear Lord. And he began to chant his glories. So that is our position. When we do not surrender everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what takes place? The ocean of our mind becomes agitated. And all the fish of material desires start coming to the surface and disturbing us like anything. And these agitations take the form of insatiable lust and greed and anger and pride and illusion, envy. And they torment us, disturb us. Why? Because we're not willing to cooperate with the plan of God. If we cooperate with the plan of God, the ocean of our consciousness will be very peaceful, and it will remain very peaceful forever. And then the agitation of old age, disease, and death, and then another birth struggling in the womb of a mother. So much disturbance. Why? Because the glance of anger is upon us. Because we are not willing to offer our natural reciprocation of love with God. So we may ask, why is Lord Ramchandra so apparently cruel to all of us? Why doesn't he tell us surrender, but if we do not surrender, he lets us just live a normal life, a happy life? Because he loves us. Because he will not abandon us. We are like fish out of water in this material world. Our nature is to love God and to serve God and to recognize that everything is the property of God. Now the father of the ocean, if he sees one of his children is on the beach, he knows that that child will never really be happy there. So he'll do anything to bring that fish back into his abode. Similarly, a father, if he sees that this child is genuinely going wrong, and is living in such a way that he is not going to reap the real fruits of his purpose of life, then he will punish that child. That punishment is the act of his love. You see, if Krishna were to just allow us to do our own thing in this world and be peaceful, he would be abandoning us. He would be abandoning us to illusion, abandoning us to material energy. Now, an ordinary father in this world, if he is a rascal, he will abandon his child just because the child does not cooperate. But a good father will never abandon the child, no matter what. He will always be doing whatever is required to bring that child back. But ultimately, he never interferes with the independence of the child. Punishment does not interfere with our independence. It's just meant to wake us up, to try to teach us a lesson, to utilize our independence for its proper purpose. So therefore, Lord Sri Ramchandra punished the ocean by creating havoc, disturbance in the ocean's life, hoping that this ocean will come to its senses and surrender. And that is just what the Lord does to each and every one of us, birth after birth after birth. The time of death is havoc. And sometimes by his causeless mercy, he creates havoc before death. Correct? This is all to bring us to the point of the ocean, personified. Ultimately, he came with folded palms and he began to glorify the Lord with love. It is not that he came vengefully and said, "Okay, my Lord, you defeated me. I'll let you do whatever you want. But it's not what I want, but I have no choice." Ocean personified was intelligent. He understood that the punishment that he just endured, the embarrassment of all his subjects seeing him being completely defeated in the face of Ramchandra, he understood that it was the loving mercy of his own father. Therefore, he took it as such. He sobered up. He woke up. He was enlightened by the circumstance. He was enlightened by the great tragedy that came upon him, by the humiliation. And he came forward with folded palms. But he didn't just glorify the Lord with so many empty words. He glorified with words of love. But then he showed the sincerity of those words by his actions. He didn't just say, "Jai Ramchandra, Jai Prabhu," and then go on with his negligence. Huh? What he did is he said, "Jai Ramchandra, I am your eternal servant. Let us build this bridge across the ocean. I am yours. From this day on, I am your property. to glorify the spiritual master and to glorify the Supreme Personality of God. It is the same thing. Because the spiritual master is simply the representative of God. So when we glorify our spiritual master and we glorify Krishna with words of praise, the sincerity of that glorification is manifested to the degree we are willing to accept the instruction as our life and soul. And this is just what the ocean did. His instruction was, help me build this bridge across you and let these rocks, these big stones, float. And the ocean said, all right, my lord, you are almighty, you are all glorious. You want to kill Ravana? I will help you kill Ravana. That is my eternal service to you. Let us build this ocean, this bridge together. Whatever way I can help, you desire that these rocks float, they will float. Your wish is my command. This is glorification. Glorification through one's life's action. In this way, Ocean Personified learned the hard way, but he learned, which is much better than most of us. We are learning the hard way, but we are still not learning. We are still not surrendering. We still have something that is more important. Such a beautiful prayer. You may use my water as you like. Let us say that the water of the ocean symbolizes in our own life our consciousness. Our consciousness, not only, but all of our property, because Ocean Personified, the ocean was his property. It was his body, his mind, his words, his everything. This is surrender. When with all sincerity and a willing to make our word good, when we say to the Lord, my Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. Ah, such a wonderful example, which pertains very, very specifically to the devotees of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. He wants Ram to use his water, to use all of his property in any way he likes, to destroy the demoniac influence of Ravana, who is the cause of great disturbance and crying for the three worlds. So similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sing that in this age of Kali Yuga, there is much demoniac influence causing great disturbance and crying. Ravana represents ignorance. The greatest demon is ignorance. It is due to ignorance. What is that ignorance? That I am this material body, that I am the enjoyer. We are forgetting our relationship with Krishna as his eternal servant. We are forgetting the means to him, which is devotional service. You see, Ravana caused fear because he was spreading ignorance. So similarly, the demon of ignorance is all pervading in this age of Kali Yuga. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has asked all of us, Yare de katare kaha Krishna upadesha maragoi guru hoi tare desh. On my command, let me use your consciousness, your body, your mind, your words, your wealth, your everything, to alleviate the crying, the anxiety, and the disturbance of all living beings due to the demon of ignorance. Let us together slay this great ignorance. This is the mission of preaching. A preacher tries to help the Lord, to utilize everything that he has in the Lord's service, to slay the demon of ignorance, which is causing so much grief and suffering within the hearts of all living beings. And what is the way? It is through the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that the bridge to cross over the ocean of ignorance is the association of saintly persons who are constantly reminding us to never forget the holy name of Krishna. Each of these stones, by the arrangement of Lord Ram, would float only because the name of Ram was upon it. In crossing over the ocean of birth and death, which is the means of destroying the Ravana-like demon of ignorance, at every step, we must remember God's name. That is the great symbol of this story. The name of God is the shelter. The name of God is the bridge which can take us across the ocean of birth and death. But if you forget the name at any step, you will sink. Huh? If there was one rock without the name, it would sink. And if you stepped on that rock, you would sink with it. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. At every step there is danger in this world. Therefore, at every step we should remember the holy name. And through the bridge of God's holy name, we could cross this ocean of ignorance. By the grace of our Gurudev and by the grace of Sriman Mahaprabhu, this great demon of Ravana who is residing within our heart in the form of ignorance will be slayed. And what is the result? The conclusion is the perfection of our life, whereas we can simply be eternally the instrument to assist the pleasurable pastimes of Sita and Ram. Sita is the goddess of fortune. She is her energy is everything that exists. By not trying to exploit Sita for our own sense enjoyment, but by simply assisting the beautiful loving pastimes of Sita and Ram, that is the supreme goal of our life. That is the supreme happiness of the soul. Therefore, let us know for certain that we have two alternatives. To accept the instruction of the Lord, to understand the consequences if we do not accept the will of God, and to willfully and joyfully, as Ocean Personified has done, offer everything in the loving service of the Lord. Offer everything in the loving service of our spiritual master in this most merciful mission of building the bridge of the holy name for all living beings to take shelter of and cross the ocean of ignorance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Yes. In the process of surrendering, the ocean is making suggestions also that you may build a bridge. Because surrender to the devotee, this is life to be done. Is he offering suggestions to
if the spiritual master or if Krishna desires your suggestions, then that is your service. After all, when you surrender your body, your mind, your words, everything, your intelligence. If God gives you an intelligence, He wants you to offer it all in His loving service. Huh? So whatever good ideas we have, that is our creative expression of devotional service, to offer those good ideas in the service of the Lord. But ultimately, thy will, not my will be done means you can accept my suggestions or reject them as you like. I am surrendered. But part of my service is I have to give you everything, and I have this intelligence, and this is the way I am thinking. How can I best serve you best? Huh? At all times, at every moment. I am thinking like this. Can I best serve you like this? If he says no, immediately we reject this idea. If he says yes, if he tells you to stop thinking, just do exactly as he says, then you do. But if he tells you to use your good intelligence to serve the best way you can, that is devotional service. Oftentimes the spiritual master tells us like this, I want this job done. How it's done, you use your good intelligence. But we are not attached to whether the Lord accepts or rejects our proposals. We are only attached to offering the best we have of our body, of our mind, of our words. Any other questions? Yes. You are sincerely trying the best you can, Krishna will protect you. Apicho sutaracharam bhajite mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyag bhavishito hisha. Krishna says that if one is my devotee, even if he commits the most abominable activity, if his desire is rightly situated, he is to be considered saintly. Why? Because Krishna explains in the next verse that very quickly I make him righteous once again. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. This is the verse where Krishna says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. Specifically in this verse, and he's saying, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. He's speaking of a devotee who falls for some time, but who is sincere, who is rightly situated in his desire, but who momentarily or temporarily becomes overcome due to previous conditionings. Krishna says, I very soon will make him righteous. How? He might smash you very hard. Or he may just bring you back again gracefully into the association of devotees. How he does it, that is for him. He is the supreme perfect expert at everything. But if our desire is sincere, then even if these difficulties or if these states of forgetfulness may come due to previous conditionings into our life, it is Krishna's word that he will bring you back. He will protect you. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.